Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to Get The Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, Michael Sidgwick, and Phil Chambers from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. And that issue today is who should be the next champions in AEW. Sidge, a fairly obvious place to start, the AEW World Championship picture. Jon Moxley, current champion. We all know, obviously, who won the Golden Ticket Battle Royale on Rampage, because we're definitely not recording this beforehand. but can anyone stop MJF being the next AEW World Champion?
No, absolutely not. The entire narrative is based on him. And to be honest, like, I know a few people might have missed this at Dynamite Grand Slam, but I got a few hints, a few teasers, a few clues.
What gave you that idea?
My God. I saw a great tweet. Please stop cutting to MJF. I have object permanence. Just not mine. It was absolutely tremendous, though. Ultimately, it has to be MJF, and it's kind of long overdue. Part of the reason why he was so unbelievably miffed earlier this year is that the likes of CM Punk, Adam Cole, and Bryan Danielson were signed to Megastar Money, and he, in fact, had already become a megastar, having re-upped, I think, in early 2020. And look, I know Google Trends indicate that it was closer than people believe, but that Revolution 2022 buy rate, which was phenomenal, was driven by the MJF CM Punk feud. The guy is the most captivating week-to-week storyteller on episodic TV. Every single angle he's in is fantastic. Every single promo he cuts is fantastic. The few matches that he works, lazy bastard, are all absolutely tremendous. I can't think of a single guy that will not be better and more intriguing and more compelling week to week to week on the most important revenue stream, which is episodic TV. It's his.
Any disagreement from you, Phil?
Absolutely none whatsoever. I think we all noticed MJF when he was off, like, recently. It was a big hole left on the show. It was a huge hole left in the show, more so maybe than we thought, like, going into this. Like you say, it's an absolute no-brainer. We reported that the original plans for All Out were supposed to be the CM Punk versus MJF stuff. Obviously, some other things got in the way of that with injuries and things, and then some more other things got in the way of doing that again in the future. But it makes the most amount of sense. Give him the title, cement him as a major player, a main event player for a really long time, give him a long run with the belt, let him run through with some people, let him be a bit dominant with it as well. And then have someone like beat him, like a huge babyface star or something somewhere down the line. Cement him as this top guy that you're now paying him to be as well. And keep him there forever, as far as I'm concerned. There's no one else better right now.
No arguments from me either, unsurprisingly. In terms of the Women's World Championship, obviously it's a bit up in the air at the moment. Thunder Rosa is champion. Toni Storm is interim champion. But we did have a major arrival on Dynamite this week who, well, could be a contender for the next AEW Women's World Champion.
Yeah, there's a lot going into this one with the Saraya stuff. Obviously, if she is ready to go and she's there to fight and do matches, it's kind of a no-brainer to put her in that position at some point. She's, like, instantly the biggest star they've got in that division in terms of, like, global popularity. So it makes absolutely all the sense in the world to put the title on her. But there's sort of the reports about, like, is she cleared? Is she not cleared coming out today? That kind of throw a little bit of a spanner in the works. If you're playing devil's advocate, if it's not going to be Saraya, then personally, I think you should go with someone like a Jamie Hayter or something like that, because I think that's a really nice dichotomy between her and the Britt Baker stuff. If she kind of gets the title picture out from under Jamie Hayter, even if Saraya is still going, and you can do a bit of a feud between Saraya and Britt Baker, and then sort of behind the scenes outside of this, Jamie Hayter gets her shot and wins it out there, then you've got the kind of jealousy between Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker that you can play on. Mm. And I think there's a lot to go on there. And like, Jamie Hayter's just been absolutely great week to week. She's been only getting better in ring and on promos and things like that. And I think that'd be a huge boost for her.
Yeah, Sidge, not to disregard the current interim champion in Toni Storm, but you said yourself when Saraya showed up on Dynamite, she's a game changer for AEW.
She should be. I don't think she necessarily will be, because I've learned like harsh lessons from the 3 years of total apathy with which Tony Khan has booked this division. But yes, she should be a game changer. As Phil rightly points out, she's got a global reach. She's instantly the biggest star in that division, not named Britt Baker. And it's about time with the women's division, which I've said over and over again, is booked far too similarly to the men's, except they don't have the trifecta of the veteran like Dustin Rhodes, the incredible mid-card hand like Tony Nese, or the up-and-coming breakthrough prodigy like Darby Allin. With those types of wrestlers, Tony Khan can book established star versus one of those three. The experience and the depth on the women's side isn't there, but the booking patterns are far too similar. Tony needs to take shortcuts. He needs to be really, really bold. And I think Saraya is the ultimate bold choice. And yes, we don't know whether she can go, but Taz quite literally said at Grand Slam, she can go, which was basically not exactly subtle subtext of she's going to be working. I know you're probably thinking that at home if she is or isn't. She is going to be working. An alternate choice. I don't know if I would go to Hayter purely because this division needs to be treated more importantly, and I think it needs grudge programs outside of the title picture to create even the illusion of depth. So I would have the Hayter Britt Baker thing away from the title picture on that basis.
Would you have Hayter be the person to finally dethrone Jade Cargill, TBS champion?
That's a shout, but no. Should I go into my
pick? Who have you got for that one?
Willow Nightingale.
Great
Willow Nightingale. Like, I don't know a single person, and I've not read a single complaint online that says, oh, I don't want Willow Nightingale on Rampage. These Rampage tapings increasingly are defined by how exhausted the crowds are. Like, AEW have even taken the really cheap, and I hate it, measure of piping in crowd noise. I hate it. With Willow, everyone comes alive. Such an effervescent personality, a really underrated worker. She just gets what it means to connect with people as a babyface. And I think after a really long, drawn-out, close call, I think she should really be the one to dethrone Jade Cargill.
I really like Willow Nightingale, Phil. I think I fell in love with her at the Ring of Honor show I was lucky to go to. I'd never really seen or heard of her much before that. And she's just instantaneously someone that you just side with.
Absolutely, yeah. It's kind of like that sort of Bailey initial reaction.
Yes.
Like, this is a baby face everybody can get behind. She's like the Simon Miller of the women's division. She's just so goddamn positive and so nice. So I'd say she's a great shout. The only other person I had in mind was, and it obviously, like, really depends on how long she's going to be out on injury and things like that, but, like, Chris Statlander. If, like, if you're going to cement Jade Cargill as a run with this title and just keep it going for as long as possible, I wouldn't be against that, by the way, either. But, like, Chris Statlander, when she finally comes back off the injury, to sort of cement her in the division again, give her a big push as soon as she comes back, I think that would be a really great little babyface champion to dethrone Jade Cargill.
I should also point out that we are taping this on Friday because she's got a title defense tonight against Diamante. We are assuming she retains there. But congratulations if it is Diamante who's dethroned Jade Cargill.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
From Jade to someone else who it's difficult to pick who dethrones them, Wardlow, the TNT champion right now, 80-odd days, I think, as champion, and only just beginning, really.
Yeah, I'd say, if anyone, the next TNT champion should be Wardlow, because they've not really done anything with it at the minute so far. He needs some feuds. He needs something he can get his teeth into. Like, with every week that goes by, it seems like they're slightly diminishing Wardlow from where he was through that MJF feud. He was, like, top of the world at that point, and it doesn't feel the same anymore. But in terms of people to dethrone him, the main person that comes to my mind is Powerhouse Hobbs. Just two big, meaty guys going at each other. Obviously, Hobbs is on a great one coming off the Ricky Starks stuff. I think that would just be an incredible match. Two guys beating the ever-loving crap out of each other. And Powerhouse Hobbs would be a great champion in that, in kind of a heel role.
And a believable person to dethrone Wardlow.
Yeah.
Yes, my pick might actually be not considered that. I've got a bit of a fantasy booking scenario here. I'm going to lay it out very, very quickly. I want the TNT title to be reimagined in the medium term as the Hoss Fight title. Wardlow versus Brody King. Versus Lance Archer again, because I think that match was really underrated.
Yeah.
Versus Powerhouse Hobbs. And then, because you don't expect it, I want it to go to Adam Cole, with the idea being that Adam Cole could sell the fact with his beautiful and animated face that, oh Christ, how am I going to do this? Because look who's fallen at Wardlow before this, but then he's such a great counter wrestler. He's a great little heel dickhead, even though he's a wonderful human being by all accounts in real life. So I think the contrast between the people that Wardlow beats to legitimize him in the meantime to go to Adam Cole, and I would argue that both TNT title and Adam Cole need each other. Adam Cole talks a lot. They want to treat him as a top star, but there's one too many top stars in AEW, which we know already. And I think the TNT title has really faltered this year. I think they two need each other, and they would be great for each other.
Pac just defended the All-Atlantic Championship on Dynamite Grand Slam, of course, maybe through nefarious means against Orange Cassidy, but who would you have the guy take the title off him?
Well, it's strange, the All-Atlantic title, because it doesn't really feel like canon, and in fact, it's not presented as canon, in that it kind of feels like a thing for Pac to do when he has his sort of various trips back to England, and he defends it, obviously, on several UK indies. On that basis, because I don't really want it to factor into AEW programming too much, because there are too many titles to cover, even on this podcast, with all the ROH stuff, give it to Anthony Ogogo.
It'll
legitimize him as a star. It will give meaning to this very slow burn, gradual push, where he just takes on loads of different, like, skinny wimp dorks on Dark and Elevation and the like, and then slowly reintroduce him back to AEW programming when he's gotten over, when he's got more experience, when he's worn that title like a champion, and then he can do something in storylines with it on Dynamite, because he is long overdue a push on television.
I love that as a pick. Of course, I think Pac's going to be defending it in the future, or whoever's the world champion, All-Atlantic champion, he's going to be defending it against Ethan Page in Canada. Would that be the moment you do the switch?
No, unfortunately. Okay. I think Ethan Page needs more than that. And it's like, my first pick for this was Miro, but then at the same time, I also think he kind of needs more than the All-Atlantic title. Not to diminish the All-Atlantic title or anything like that, but it's just, they need to be elevated a little bit higher than that. So I was like exactly the same kind of thing as you, like saying it doesn't necessarily need to be AEW TV that it appears on all the time. It feels like they kind of created it as the kind of journeyman wrestler who can defend it all over the world and the things like that. Like, why not put it, it depends on the politics of it all, but why not put it on a Will Ospreay? Get it in New Japan, take it over to England, take it over to Australia when he does the matches over there. He's like a guy who could travel the world with this title, specifically like keying into that kind of a thing. Then you can obviously use clips of him on AEW TV for as long as you want and bring him back for the odd little thing here and there. He doesn't need to be on TV every week to defend it or anything like that. and just, yeah, get it out there, get it into some new places.
Mm, Pac Osprey is always a tasty affair.
And that.
I feel a bit guilty with this next one, Phil, because they've literally just won the tag team titles. But who wins it after the Acclaimed?
Well, if it's not going to be FTR, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be FTR anytime soon, the way that they've been doing dealing with FTR in the tag division, there's only one tag team, as far as I'm concerned, that could handle this, and it's 2.0, because it's like, come on, guys. They've been absolutely incredible, and I know they lose all the time, and it kind of goes against their ranking system slightly, but you could get a couple of wins behind them, rank them, and bring them up, and I think that'll be all right. But just the promos they've been cutting, Daddy Magic, he put out another one, was it today or yesterday?
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible stuff. Every time they go out there on TV, they're one of the most entertaining things on the show. They came from being fired from NXT and came in as these kind of like weird little underdogs that you didn't really know what they were going to do. And then they've been in so many incredible storylines and great positions on the card for so long. And they've been working their asses off in the matches that they get. I think it's well earned at this point for them to have a run with the titles.
What do you reckon, Matt Menard, Angelo Parker?
Next? I love 2.0 just as much as the next guy, which is pretty much every guy.
Yes.
But I'm a stickler for continuity. I'm a stickler for things mattering. This tag team that I'm about to pitch have obviously been ranked consistently. They've won too many matches to ignore, and I want wins and losses to matter in the wins and losses matter promotion, and that's why I'm going with Sting and Darby Allin. They are literally undefeated as a tag team.
Yep.
They have won several tag team matches. They've defeated FTR, in fact, at last year's Grand Slam, and this is not just a joke pick. Like, I think the idea of... Like, I've loved Sting. I think the way that they've presented Sting is genuine borderline pro wrestling magic. I don't know how they've done it. Like, it's not just the face paint that immortalizes him. It's every bit of body language. It's the way they build to those big spots. It's the presentation. It's the theatrics. They've just done such an awesome smoke and mirrors job. That is ultimately what underscores how great a booker Tony Khan is. And I know he gets pelters from me a lot this year, but the way he's treated Sting is just something special. And I think the genuine narrative hook of Sting going for a title could genuinely drive big ratings.
Yeah, and it'd be believable if you do it in a tag team setting. I really like that as an explanation too. Intrigued to know your thoughts on the Trios titles. Because
the Elite. I miss them.
Yeah, it just feels like you've got Death Triangle holding it now, but it feels almost, not to have a go at them, but it feels almost like they're interim champions, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're substitutes, consolations, every bad connotation of what a champion isn't. That's what Death Triangle feel like. And, you know, I will let it play out. I always do with AEW when they've held the titles for, what, like 2 weeks at this point? But ultimately, I just want the Elite back. I think the Elite versus Death Triangle, they had a match on the show that might have even saved AEW Dynamite on the Homecoming show, January 1st, 2020. It was phenomenal. They've got even better in their locker. They could have an absolutely sensational trios match at Full Gear, and then we can kind of just retcon this weird sort of period between All Out and right now as we record and just set in motion what was going to happen before now, because clearly with Kenny Omega involved, whether you like him, you don't like him, you absolutely cannot deny, unless you're a bad faith dickhead, that he thinks about everything so intricately and with such a long-term perspective that there was going to be something special with those titles, and I want to resume that.
We often talk about this when it comes to the AEW podcast. About a year ago, you're looking across AEW and thinking, why haven't they got any Trios championships? Look how many Trios there are now. And yeah, looking at it now, you can make an argument for Best Friends or people like that, but it feels like the only logical option once they're unsuspended is the Elite.
Yeah, it does. It feels like the titles were made for them, and that was going to be the story that kicks off. Like, I love Death Triangle. I think their matches are absolutely incredible, and I'll watch them forever and never get bored of them watching them wrestle. And I love the visual of Pac having two belts, even though both of them don't hugely matter that much. I just love the visual of it. But yeah, like, you can't argue against the Elite and what that was going to be, especially to, like, launch a division as well. We've been waiting for so long for the Trios titles that we kind of have to kick it off with a bang, and they kicked it off with a bang in a completely different way, I guess. Mm-hmm. However, if it's not going to be the Elite, because of reasons, I would put it on the Best Friends.
Yeah.
I feel like they're missing a lot with Orange Cassidy at the minute. They're not putting him in enough programs to sort of warrant the level of popularity he used to be at. They've kind of missing the boat with it. At least putting them with the Best Friends and giving them actually something to do, something that matters, something they can fight over and fight for, I think it'd give him a lot to work towards. And it's like, yeah, it just feels like they're missing something, and it'll just at least give him a reason to be on TV and a reason to be in some storylines.
Yeah.
One final championship to deal with, the FTW Championship.
Hook forever.
Yeah, 100%.
No disagreements from me on that one. let us know your picks in the comments section below, or you can continue the conversation with us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can also get your hands on his book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, on Amazon. Don't forget that. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Phil, to Michael. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.